Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Interesting. I have never heard that preached in church. They were given the option to just go into servitude before they were carried away, but God gave them that option. But it didn't go that way because they chose not to serve him. For I have not seen them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, and concerning the sea, and concerning the bases, concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah the son of Jehoiakim king of Judah from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Chapter 27, Jeremiah, and 27 is a lesson in Bible time warp. You got to pay close attention, because Jeremiah is going to be delivering. Remember the message I told you, he's preaching and preaching and preaching for days or weeks or even months, or even chapter 27 shows you it is years, because he will preach before Jehoiakim, his son Jehoiachin, and the next king, Zedekiah. It's, and you got to watch these names, because in chapter 27, let's just dig right in, and I'll just try to keep the time warp within understanding. And you got to look at it with Isaiah and Jeremiah. They time warp all over the place. You'll jump from their time to millennial time to end days, tribulation. This is just more of the same message. Go to the temple and tell everyone continually until it happens. They will. And so it's actually a 23-year preaching that Jeremiah is doing there. And they had that long to hear the word of God and turn from their evil, and they just couldn't do it. So chapter 27, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Josiah was a good king, did what was right in the eyes of God, and he was the last good king. Actually, the next three before captivity did evil in the eyes of the Lord. King of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the kings of Edom, the kings of Moab, and the kings of the Ammonites. Interesting enough, those are cousins to the Israelites. Edom is Esau's people, and the other ones are from the daughters of Lot. So, and to the kings of Tyrus and the kings of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which came to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. Interesting, 23-year period right there. I want you to go preach in front of the temple what I told you in the last chapter for these 23 years. I mean, Jeremiah didn't understand that at the time. It's apparently when God said unto him, go and preach, he listed these future kings to Jeremiah, because he's saying here, preach to Jehoiakim, all the way to Zedekiah 23 years later. and command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast, and all that are upon the ground, by my great power and my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seems meet unto me. Now have I given all these lands unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. That is a prophecy of what will happen. God is saying, I am in control of the entire earth. I make kings. Kings don't make themselves. Royal families don't make themselves a king. I have created them. I have put Nebuchadnezzar on the throne, and I want all the nations to serve him now. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish. And that's right where Israel is at this time, because they have been made a tribute to Babylon, and they will rebel three times. And the third time under Zedekiah, when they rebel, God will allow them to be carried away. Just what he's saying here, and he's saying this for 23 years before it happens. I have commanded you to be under the yoke of Babylon for my reason. If you do that, I'll let you stay in the land. Obviously, he wants them to learn something, and being slaves to someone else, would teach me a lesson. How about you, Jonathan?
Yeah.
You lose your freedom. Freedom is the greatest thing that you have in this earth. Losing your freedom should teach you something. Why did I lose my freedom? Because I stopped following after the God of this land, the Almighty. I will punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. So the false teachers of the land are countermanding Jeremiah's prophecies. They say, oh, Jeremiah, he's crazy. He drinks too much of that hoochie juice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going. We God would never allow us to be in servitude to Babylon. You know, it's false teachers. The word of God is coming from Jeremiah, and the false preachers of the land, Christian, you better watch what's coming from the pulpit that you sit under. You have this book here, you can prove it. God said He will punish the false teachers and prophets and priests and pastors as though they were murderers and thieves. And he also says, I'll punish those who sit under them because they had the book. They had my word. They could have proved it at any time, but they chose to just sit there and absorb what these false teachers were giving them. Well, the nation of Israel is doing that right now. For they prophesy a lie unto you, and remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. And if you do any studies into Nebuchadnezzar, if you did voluntarily come under his servitude, he was a decent king to you. He was very righteous as far as treating his people good. The thing you didn't want to do is get out of line with Nebuchadnezzar because his HR department did not deal well with unruly employees. Mm-hmm. It was mostly death by whatever means is quickly available.
Yeah, you didn't really get written up.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, there was no second chances either. Yeah. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah. There's our time warp. Zedekiah ruled 13 years after the first one he talked to right here was Jehoiakim. And then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned for 3 months. And now we are have warped 13 years in the future. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. So that guy that lived a block from the temple has been getting the preaching running through his open window for 23 years. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. And I see here, between the lines, the chapters leading up to 27, Jeremiah has been sent to tell the nation of Israel bad things are going to happen. Horrible things, worse things than have ever happened. And you're going to be carried away into another land. And then when you get to 20, and the whole time God is telling Jeremiah, tell them to turn around, repent, follow me with all their hearts, or just do the law, and I won't do this thing. But they refuse to do it. But you get to 27, and God has made one final way out for them. Okay, just come under servitude of Nebuchadnezzar, and I'll let you stay in the land. There's mercy right there. And yet they couldn't even do that because they rebelled three times. And then God was pushed to that line, what he told them months and years earlier. I'm going to have you carried away into Babylon. I tried. You see the multiple chances. And God does this for you, Christian. He'll give you chance after chance after chance to turn around. You got to follow him with all your heart. Or in the case of Israel, just make an effort under the law. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? And we remember when Hezekiah was first confronted by the king of Babylon, instead of going to God, he runs into the temple and loots the temple, takes all the vessels. Here, take this gold and please leave us alone. Mm-hmm. Well, the king of Babylon says, oh, this is nice. Oh, these are some nice pieces. Yeah. They're heavy too. This stuff's got to weigh a lot. So they looted the temple of God and they sent the things to Babylon. And now he's saying here, don't even listen to these prophets that are saying, oh, they're going to send your vessels from the temple vessels back. Because that's not going to happen either. But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. One more time, turn around, follow God, or at least show him you're trying to by doing some of the law, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem not go to Babylon. So turn around right now, and the rest of the ornaments, the rest of the vessels in the temple won't be shipped to Babylon. But thus saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the pillars and concerning the sea, concerning the bases and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. That happened when Israel first came into servitude of Babylon. And like I said, during the reign of these three kings, they rebel three times. And the third time, under Hezekiah, they're carried away into Babylon. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. So it's a whole lot of prophecy in Jeremiah 27. We have prophecy in 7 about the nation of Babylon. I built it, God said. I put Nebuchadnezzar in charge. Basically says his first son will rule after him. His second son will lose the kingdom. And then will be divided amongst many. We have prophecy here. Nation of Israel is going to be carried away into Babylon unless they'll just turn around a little bit. Oh, they won't do that. So unless they'll just allow the servitude of Babylon to be put on them again and keep it that way and serve Babylon, because I, the Lord, have commanded it as one last chance for you to stay in your land. And they couldn't do that either. And he ends here with the prophecy of the remaining vessels which weren't taken by Babylon already. And that's like hope to a Jew. The vessels in the temple. It's like our temple is complete and holy. Well, half the vessels are gone. So, half the power of the law is gone. You know, it's just religion relies on ornaments. Religion relies on routines. Religion relies on anything other than God. God says, follow me with all your heart. Don't rely on the law. Don't rely on religion. Follow me with all your heart. So he says here right at the end, your remaining religious items will be carried away also. And after that, you will have no hope because you rely on religion and not me. And the entire time I've asked you to rely on me, and I'll stop this thing from happening. Christian, you have to put all your hope and faith in God, not in the church that you attend, not in the religious festivals that you do and attend, not in the things that you do with your hands under the law will never get you anything other than bondage and death and separation from God. And God forbid the legal Christian who accepts Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice and requires himself to still hold portions of the law, which does you no good, because the Bible says if you hold one tittle of the law, you must keep it all in its perfection. But it can't be done. It's been proven by millions and millions of people. The law cannot be kept by a human being who has the seed of the serpent within his mind, his carnal mind. God says, I place the spirit in the heart of man. The mind of the body is carnal and is abject to the will of God. It's up to the spirit that I knew before I placed you in the womb to gain control of this deceitful, rebellious mind and keep it under control. And that requires the nothing in excess, everything in moderation, as Paul said. You let things go in excess and the spirit man will go to sleep. And it starts with the fried chicken after church, believe it or not. You feed this body too much. It's a gateway drug to spiritual sleepiness. So God is, the last. And 27 is an amazing chapter. You see one last bit of remorse of God. One last chance he's going to give them. One more offer of mercy. Just, okay, I know you won't follow me. With your hearts, you won't keep the law. Just stay in servitude to Babylon. Mm-hmm. I have a plan. Just go into their servitude, and you can remain in your land and your homes and your vineyards. And they couldn't even do that. So yeah. The last thing, and it's fitting. The last thing that he says in 27 is, all right, I'm going to strip you of all the rest of your religion now.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't follow me.
That's what I got, was 3 layers right there. You can't keep my covenant. All right, so if you can't keep the covenant, okay, I'm going to make a way. Just set Saturday aside.
Yep.
Or set your Friday night, Saturday aside. Can't do that, then okay, then go do what they do over there.
Yeah.
If you can do what they do over there, then do that. Yeah. So that basically to me is like going, okay, you're going into a place where you don't know any of the customs of this land.
Yeah.
So now you have to learn from scratch how to be a servant in that land.
Exactly, because all of this, he's asking them just obey.
Right.
And they could not obey. And the last thing he asked is just allow him to be your king for a while. You can stay in your houses. Just do this one thing I'm asking you, like he did a couple chapters ago.
Right.
When he said, just one Sabbath.
Yep.
Don't carry anything burdensome through the gates.
Right.
Couldn't do that. And the last thing he says is, just allow Nebuchadnezzar to be your king for a while and stay in your homes. They wouldn't obey. And that's the only sin in this Bible is disobedience. That's awesome, Jonathan. Disobedience is the only sin, and it's the only thing God wants from you, Christian, is obedience. You obey the Lord, he'll lead you in green pastures. You disobey the Lord, and you'll end up in bondage and carried away into Babylon, just like these folks are getting ready to do. It's been good to be here with you on WBFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.